Blog Talk Radio.
It is
CMR.
What it is.
That's right, CMR, Collective Minds Radio. Welcome back to the family. This is your brother Kevin, and I'm here with my other hosts, Love Lachey and Mufasa Rai, in for another interesting topic. Y'all, what's up? What's going on?
Hey,
everybody,
how
doing?
Peace, y'all. Peace, peace.
All right. And we do got a good topic today. We're talking about hurricanes, but before we dive into, you know, all the recent storms, just want to make a couple announcements real quick. It is Virgo season, so shout out to all the Virgos. So happy birthday. My mom's a Virgo. My wife's a Virgo. And my two girls are Virgos also, so. Shout out to all the Virgos. Happy birthday to all y'all. I love y'all. And yeah, that's my announcements right there. So you got any announcements, Mufasa? I love Lachey. I guess we let the lady go first if she got some announcements.
I do have an announcement. We're gonna have a special guest that's gonna be sitting on the board with us on the panel, Abigail. She's an 11-year-old author and very bright young lady. She's been doing a lot of research.
Indeed.
So I just want to let everybody know she'll be sitting on the panel with us today.
Indeed.
Abigail,
that's
you can
good.
Say hi to the rest of the panel, Abigail, and say hi to the listener.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear. How you doing, Abigail?
Good.
Hey, right. A to the Z in the building. Star in the making. That's the star in the making like that.
All right, well, let's before we get to Mufasa, Abigail, do you have any announcements you want to make? Anything about last week that happened or the week coming up that you want to make announcement about?
Not that I can think of.
Okay, no doubt. Mufasa Rai, any announcements?
Just one quick one. The Raiders won today. Yay!
Are you a Raiders fan? Now, the Raiders, are they in L.A., Oakland, or San Francisco? Where the Raiders at?
The Raiders are global. We all over the world.
Is that a
we all over the world.
Is that a baseball team?
Is that a baseball team?
You poor
disillusioned woman. We're going to have to help you out with that. No, the Oakland Raiders are the number one football team in the NFL. They will be called the Nevada Las Vegas Raiders. But really, it don't matter what title we put in front of that. Because, like I said, the Raiders are global. So it's like the World Raiders. That's really what they should be called.
Speaking
of
the Raiders, y'all, yeah, check the archives, family. Check the archives. We did a show about, you know, supporting Kaepernick and boycotting the NFL. So, yeah, I'm still team fucked the NFL over here. So you dig what I'm saying? It's still fucked the NFL. The ratings was low on that season opener. So I'm sticking with that. But check out the archives, though, family. We did a show on that. So,
just a reminder, we have a special guest on the panel with us. A special reminder.
Yeah, just a reminder. And I'm going to try to watch my language because I know we have an 11-year-old on here. So, you know, I'm going to try to watch my language and keep it PG. So, you know, with that being said, you know, we want to hop into today's topic because it's been a lot going on as far as, you know, the family in the Caribbean and Florida and the southeastern part of the United States has been affected by hurricanes. Also, Houston got hit real hard by Harvey. So, you know, we just trying to figure out, like, are these hurricanes unprecedented? Is there something else going on? Is man, you know, dibbling and dabbling with it? We all heard a harp and what's going on. So we just want to, you know, tackle the question and get, you know, this collective mind. So we want to get everybody's opinion and what, you know, what the family think about it. So with me, what I'll do is I'll just start off real quick and just give a breakdown of, you know, the hurricanes that we've had in the past, you know, few years. And I was just doing just, you know, a little small research on just hurricanes in general. And I found out that they actually started naming hurricanes in 1953. So these, and they go in alphabetical order, you know, if people don't know. So they start from the beginning of the year, and they name tropical storms and hurricanes starting in alphabetical order and going on down all the way, you know, to Z, or however many, you know, storms or tropical storms or hurricanes there are. And, you know, they named by the National Hurricane Center. And just real brief, like, so the top worst hurricanes in U.S. history started, you know, in like the 1928. Well, you know, it's been hurricanes for forever, you know what I'm saying? But we talking about the measure of the worst hurricanes in U.S. history. So just to give a breakdown, you know, a few of those hurricanes have been within, let's say, the last 20 or 30 years. And so number 10 was Hurricane Charley in 2004. It was a Category 5. And then Superstorm Sandy that hit, like, New York and the East Coast in 2012 was number 8 on the list. Okay. And then you had number 3 on the list was actually a hurricane like Irma that hit Miami in 1926. So, you know, it was similar to Hurricane Irma, is that it decimated and hit South Florida real hard. And let's see, number 1 on the list. Well, let me do number 2 first, because number 2 is relevant to Hurricane Harvey, which hit Houston. So in the 1900s, it was a Category 4 hurricane that hit Galveston, Texas, which is close, you know, down that way towards Houston. So that was one that was a major hurricane, and it ended up going all the way up to Oklahoma and Kansas as a tropical storm or whatever. So the 1900 hurricane was number 2 that hit Galveston, Texas. So number 1, take a guess of what was the number 1 worst hurricane. Now, this is according to the weatherchannel.com, so, you know, take it how you get it. But they say the number 1 hurricane was Hurricane Katrina in 2005 that hit the Gulf Coast and, you know, more notably New Orleans, Louisiana. You dig what I'm saying? So according to the Weather Channel, that's the number 1 hurricane that has ever hit the United States of America. So, you know, I just wanted to put that out there. So I'm going to let y'all go in on what y'all think the cause of these hurricanes are. We want the family to call up. You dig? Give us a call. Let us know what y'all think. And I guess, can we start with a special guest, or how y'all want to do it? Love, Lachey. Mufasa.
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you one quick question before you move to the special. With the what you were saying about Katrina, what category was that one?
Katrina was a 4.
Okay.
I think it was I take that back. Katrina was a 5. I'm sorry. I take that back. Katrina was a 5. It was a category 5. So
Irma, I guess I was hearing that Irma had the potential. It started as a 5, but it kept going up and down. And I think the difference with Irma was the width and the duration of the storm was longer than Katrina. But I guess the force of Katrina is more powerful than Irma, correct?
Right, correct. And then also you got to look at, because the winds and the conditions, I'm getting some background noise. But the winds and the conditions change as the storm moves, you know, whether across land or is just going across straight ocean. You dig? So the winds and conditions change. So, you know, some storms start off as just a tropical storm, category 1 through 3 or whatever. Then, you know, it may, as it moves on that path, it may you know, move up to a four or five. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I think Katrina was between like a 4 and a 5. You know, and like you say, Irma has been kind of going back and forth. But like I say, it depends on the population of that area. You know, how many buildings in that area to be affected as far as, you know, damage and total cost too. So all that type of stuff kind of plays into effect, like, you know, the people in the area, the amount of material items and buildings and things that can be damaged and tallied up, then you're looking at higher or more significant damage as opposed to it just going through, you know, a deserted island of just like wilderness or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So all that type of stuff plays into effect too. So, and I did want to put this out there real quick. We do know that the hurricanes typically start on the west coast of Africa, following the exact route, you know, of the slave trade. So it's a lot of talk about, you know, because the hurricanes, it's her for female. A lot of the hurricanes typically named after females. Actually, they started off being named after females. You know, so it's just a lot of talk of, you know, metaphysics and how they develop in the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of Africa and make their way towards what the Caribbean and, well, they actually go everywhere, but, you know, we most know them from hitting the Caribbean and southern Florida, which were most of the, you know, where the slave ships landed. So, you know, that's just something to think about, put that out there, you know what I mean? So what we gonna do now, I guess we gonna get to our guest. I know I heard she's been doing some research. Abigail, you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So do you wanna chime in on the storms and share your thoughts on what you think
Abigail,
is going on?
Why don't you kinda start off by just kinda explaining to us, like, what do you think about the weather that's been going on, the hurricanes? I know you've been watching a lot of it for the past few days, actually. So what do you think about it? Do you think it's just nature? Do you think it's something else? Just what's your true opinion about it?
Well, I believe it's really weird because, like the next day, something else, and then next week you got totally different place evacuating and stuff. And I personally believe that it's like the government has something to do with it. And I've been doing some research, and I actually end up finding out what the HAARP project was. So yeah.
Okay.
And
yeah. Break that down. Yeah. Go ahead.
The HAARP project. HAARP stands for. Hold on. It stands for High Frequency Active Aerial Research Program. So that's what HAARP stands for. You can also look that up. I would have given links out, but sadly, they've either blocked all the videos on YouTube or on Google, or it says you need permission to view the video. But we do have an article. It should be in the description. Did you put it in the description, Lachey?
I didn't get a chance to, but I'll make sure that we still get that in there for our listeners. I'll go back and make sure there is a link that she provided that I'll go back and put that in there. So it'll still be provided. You guys will be able to still look it up.
Yeah, but luckily I was at least able to see one video. I have to make sure, I'm not 100% sure if I gave the link out to Love Lachey yet, but if I didn't, I'll try to do my best to get that out if I can find it again. But it's actually a video, a small short video of, it's like it's in the middle of nowhere, basically. She just, a lot of open field, and there are these weird machines, and it looks like they're actually creating lightning.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to describe, but yeah. And Love Lachey, she also shared with me that she recently saw a video. What was it about? You want to share with them what the video was
about?
Something about a cloud.
It was them, making the clouds and how it began to rain shortly afterward. And so I think that's a lot of it.
Yeah. Hello, you kind of went out, Love Lachey. You there?
Okay, is that better?
Yeah, I can hear now. Okay.
Yeah, so they were making clouds, which eventually, after a short period of time, the cloud began to rain. So I know that's a lot to do with our guest Abigail's theory that she thinks a lot of it, she expressed to me before, that's why I thought it'd be good to have her on, that she thought a lot of this bad weather, the strange weather, was due to a lot of government projects and just them, you know, trying to test things. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, they said the weather manipulation, a lot of people believe, if you look it up on Google, they said it started in about 1990. I'm not 100% sure, but somewhere in 1990, I believe.
Okay, yeah. I actually have dates earlier than that. I've heard that, you know, they've been working on weather modification since like the 1940s. But yeah, now as far as the HART program, that may be a little more recent, but as far as weather modification and things like that, that's been going on at least, 50 years at least. But that's good info.
So Abigail, you think that a lot of these hurricanes and this weather that's going on now is due to the government and the HART program?
Yes, and also seen a video of a man. His theory, he was actually kind of describing how it works. He was using a computer. I don't remember it 100% because I did kind of skip it a little, but he was showing the hurricanes and stuff, how it worked and how it really didn't come from, didn't you say it came from like a specific route? It started from a specific place, like in Africa?
Yeah, some brother Kevin, was just explaining.
The
route, how it starts, and kind of like the route. A lot of times, it takes the same path that the slave ship took when it brought
correct,
the
other correct. Thing. Yeah,
this
it starts
one,
in the Atlantic. Yeah.
The ones you were showing were the ones that we see on the news recently and stuff, and it really didn't even come from that direction, which is odd. And his theory is that he believes that somebody is like some secret society or something. I don't know 100%, but somebody is making it to for the donations, like to gain more money.
They'll create natural disasters like that to get people to start giving money to collect more money.
It's the people that are really claiming that they're, when they take the money, like they're going to use it to help people. I forgot what it's
this
called.
This is the history of, because here's the thing. Natural disasters are big business. You know what I'm saying? And when we dealing with a white supremacist society, they weaponize everything. So everything is a weapon. Even like from TV to sports to you name, like everything is a weapon, and they use it to their benefit. So this is no different with natural disasters. So you got a natural disaster, people donate a lot of money. You got a lot of insurance claims. However, you know, the people who are most vulnerable are who? You typically, the poor people who don't have enough money to either leave or, you know, protect themselves or get supplies and, you know, things that they need to withstand a storm if they can't get out. So these people are the most vulnerable. You know what I'm saying? So in one sense, they kind of get rid of those people, you know, quote unquote. And then they take the money and do whatever, you know, whatever they wish with it. Yeah, they'll build it back up. But as we've seen in Katrina, the people who made the city, you know, who was the soul of the city, have them people gone. Like, you wiped a lot of them out. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, they weaponize natural disasters. They collect a lot of funds off of it. It's a big business. You know, they get all these Hollywood stars in there to talk about it and, you know, have these telethons with fundraisers. And then they, who knows what they do with that money? You dig what I'm saying? It's basically to make them richer and keep the status quo going. You know, keep the same system running, make it seem like, you know, you caring, you helping out. But in reality, we know the people that need the funds don't get it. And that's just based off history. Katrina, Haiti, the earthquake. You know, it was an earthquake in Mexico recently, you know, on top of the hurricane. So, you know, and a lot of people speculate that those two hurricanes could have been man-made or manipulated by some people, you know. So, yeah, so, you know, it's a lot going on. Mufasa, right, you said that? Mufasa still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Yeah, what you think, bro?
Well, what's going on out here? Just for, you know, and I appreciate the fact that Abby brought up about the harp, but I'm gonna switch directions for a second, because we still, like, we throwing out guesses of what may have happened, and harp is one of the things, but we also got to still take into consideration what this solar eclipse, what effect it may have had on the Earth as well. You know, we had the eclipse not too long ago, and, you know, we don't know exactly what that could have caused, you know, the Earth to do. You know, with that earthquake, I mean, come on, we had a big 8-point-something earthquake out the blue. You know what I'm saying? Hurricanes back-to-back. I mean, so I still say you never know what's up with Mother Nature. You know what I mean? You know, got the stuff, got the ice melting in Alaska. Not Alaska, but
Antarctica.
Yeah, we got a lot going on around the world. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we definitely can't forget about we had that solar eclipse, and we don't know what type of total effects it could have had on the Earth as well.
Thank you.
Right.
That is
correct. And that was what you were saying, Lovelace. And I agree with both of y'all. That's why I say, even though I know they can do the weather modification and, you know, put up clouds and make it rain, I'm kind of leaning towards Mother Nature being the bigger force in this, you know, these particular set of incidents. I'm just leaning to Mother Nature is just cleansing herself. And then, like we say, the eclipse happened, and there's just a lot going on, and it seems like it's happening at one time. But this is just a way of Mother Nature using that force, because I don't, you know, I'm not sure if they can shoot up some clouds and just make a tornado. I still think they're trying to get to that point, but I still think Mother Nature is the bigger force, you know what I mean, at this time. And she's the particular cause of all this, you know, what we see, you know what I mean, at the end of the day.
Let me ask y'all this, too. Tell me, why do y'all think so many people choose to stay in these to live in these type of areas where, you know, every year it's a risk or something like this? I don't understand why one would choose to continue to live in that type of environment where you constantly fleeing due to hurricanes and floods and stuff. Seems like they would, you know, would move more inland. What do y'all think is the deal with with people that just don't want to leave those areas. Even with these storms coming, well, you got some people that just wait to the last minute. Like, I mean, I've seen people, and I know some people have a hard time of getting out, like the elderly and stuff. But I've seen some people just straight up say that, you know, no, we're just going to bunker down. I've seen people out having parties and drinking and stuff. And I don't understand that. Like, what is the deal?
Right. Well, I would say, you know, I got a homie that lives in Nassau, Bahamas, you know, real good friend. And that is just the price you pay for living in paradise, because you got to deal with these storms maybe, you know, once a year, every couple years, every, you know, few years. But, you know, major storms like this don't, you know, they're not, they don't happen all, you know, once every two, three, four, you know, a few years. But that's the price you pay for living in paradise, because after that and before that, like, the rest of your year is just beautiful for the most part. You know what I'm saying? You're living in a truly paradise, oasis, you know, just beautiful all year round type of environment. So, you know, one of the prices you pay, you know, everything is just on a degree. So you have the beautiful, beautifulest days, you know, I don't know if that's a word, but, you know, you have them just perfect, quote-unquote, days, and then you got Hurricane Harvey or Irma coming through neighborhood, you know, about to tear off your roof, 150-mile-per-hour winds, just, like, ridiculous stuff, rains and water, like, you know, it's crazy. So you got to deal with both ends of the spectrum, you know what I'm saying? When you push, you know, when you push the man's other spectrum, you got to deal with both ends. So that's just one of the prices you pay for living in paradise. That's the best way to put it.
And not to mention, you also have to always keep in mind that we are still dealing with humans. Humans test the water all the time. If they don't, if we don't get something instant, we always roll the dice. If we don't see instant results or something that happened instantly, we're gonna test that. That's why you got people that's on drugs, because they think I can handle this. That's just human nature. You know, they like, okay, this is a nice place, I wanna live there. And they roll the dice based off of just, you know, how things work and how humans work. They figure it can't happen to them, or I'll be okay, or these things only happen once in a lifetime. So it's all kind of things that they have to calculate way in and way out, you know, when they make these types of decisions. But another thing, too, we have to also realize that disasters happen all over the world. So that's another thing that's a fact in a human's mind. They make type of calculated decisions, if it's a calculated decision. Some people just die by chance.
Some people just born there.
Yeah, some people just die by chance, but, you know, even if it was to be a calculated decision, you're going to have all kind of things that will come up. Disasters happen everywhere. We may, right where we live. You know, we is subject to a big earthquake, you know. There's no way of getting around these types of things when it comes to Mother Nature, because we on her turf. No matter where we are on this earth, we on her turf.
Right. Facts.
And when you say, like, living here in the Midwest, like, that's something else that people kill me with. People that live in floodplain areas. It's like, you know, I just don't get why you would want to live your... I mean, I could see having you a spare house in an area like that, but to straight up live there in an area that you know can flood out, it's like, it's called floodplain for a reason. You know what I'm saying?
People like to be by that water, right? People like to be by that water, and, you know, they like they can deal with it, which, you know, like I said, it's just a thing. Like, you really can't escape, like Love would say, you can't escape Mother Nature's wrath. You know, it's just a matter of time before it get to your area. But as we speak right now, it was floods going on in Africa. You know, the West Coast is burning. Like, it's like the worst set of forest fires they having in California, Oregon, and Washington. Like, it's all type of stuff going on as we speak. And we got Hurricane Irma, you know, beating up the Florida East Coast. You know what I'm saying? And golf.
Jose,
and then we got Jose behind it. Yeah, Jose behind it, gaining steam. And we got Keisha or Katia, however people say it. I say Keisha. In the golf, you know, maybe about to hit, already hit Mexico. So, yeah, it's just a lot going on. But I think this is just the wrath of Mother Nature, you know, coming down and doing this thing. So it's to the point where, you know, we as humans just got to get right with the earth. You know what I'm saying? Especially indigenous people really need to be tapping into the, you know, the energy of the earth. You know, as far as, you know, what she putting out. Because she just trying to, the way I see it, Mother Nature just trying to clean it up. Trying to get back in balance. You know what I mean? However that is, you know, you got to get back in balance. And it takes, you know, sometimes destruction and tough events for, you know, for renewal or whatever, you know, so.
What's the latest y'all heard about what's going on in Texas with Harvey? Are they just in straight up cleanup mode? Did they give like a final death toll? Or what's the last you heard about Harvey?
Love Lachey, you want to take it or I can take it?
I didn't hear this question. He kind of went out.
Okay, no, he was asking what's the latest you heard as far as what's been going on in Hurricane Harvey down in Houston. Any late updates? I know, you know, we know some people down there.
They're trying to get back to normal. I know they're trying to get back to normal. It's still a lot of cleanup, of course, because a lot of major stuff happened. But it's a lot of stuff that I know. I talked to a good friend of mine that was in Houston yesterday, and he was saying that, you know, he said you can feel the difference in the air. He's like, people trying to get back to him, but you can really feel the difference in the air. And you saw, and then just looking over some of those videos I know that I saw, there was just a lot of questionable things, too, that I noticed that was happening there. You know, the people saying that you had to be careful about who actually trying to rescue you, and some people were saying some of the rescue people were robbing them and things like that, and you know, I thought that was kind of interesting. But he did say that you know, from his experience, the one person in particular, from his experience, that a lot of people trying to get back to normal as much as they can, and you know, but it's just, you know, it's hard because so much was damaged and so much was affected. Even people that wasn't there was affected. You know, there's just so many different ways that we was affected by it.
Indeed. Hello? Yeah. Hello? Abby, you there?
Yeah, I also wanted to say something. As I was watching videos, another reason why I believe in the HEART project or program is because a lot of stuff before the hurricane hit, you could see weird flashing lights appearing in the sky. Like, it was several videos of that. That was also really weird. And also, I have a question to ask you guys. Like, what do you think about, like, how do you think these homeless people are getting evacuated and stuff? How you think they're going to evacuate sick people in hospitals and elderly and stuff like that?
Right. Well, my take on it is, in our society, because we live in a quote-unquote capitalist society and it's all about the money, the homeless people are really just persona non grata. And what I mean like that is they don't exist to the public. Basically, they're being shunned because they're homeless and don't have no money. Now, this is a mindset that we're moving into, which is a very dangerous mindset because we're using money to judge people. So if you don't have money, you're basically worthless in this society, which is very dangerous, you know, just on a human and emotional level. So the homeless are being treated the worst Like, yeah, okay, they may be going to shelters, but if you know, they're going to be the last people to get the resources, and they should be the first ones to be getting it. You know what I'm saying? So I've seen videos where they are pictures to where brother getting handcuffs on him, but the headlines say that he's being helped. You know, the homeless are being taken to a shelter, you know, being taken somewhere to be housed or whatever. But so why are you putting handcuffs on them, brother? You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot going on, and they are really the most vulnerable, you know what I'm saying, in a situation like this, because from what reports I was listening to, according to NPR, the homeless shelters down in Miami were either full, they were closed, or they were understaffed because the staff evacuated. You know what I'm saying? So who knows? Like, this is just the stuff that they put out. So I think it's a lot more going on with the homeless, the poor, that we don't know about at this point. You know what I'm saying? Unless we just down there on the ground. But I suspect that it could be a lot going on as far as how they're being treated. You know what I'm saying? Just based on the type of society we live in. We see it every day. You know? So, you know, that's my take on how the homeless maybe and the elderly may be getting treated like that. Like, I seen a picture in Houston where it was in a elderly shelter. I mean, not shelter, but elderly home or old folks home, whatever they call it these days, where the people were sitting down and the water was up to some woman's basically stomach, you know what I'm saying? And they sitting there in the table, and she's sitting in a wheelchair, and the water just, you know, contaminated water just up to everywhere. Now, you telling me, like, even if those people make it out, they may suffer from some type of disease or something just from sitting in the water. Like, who's taking this picture? You know what I'm saying? Like, what is really going on out here? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what are y'all doing? Who's taking this picture? And why do y'all got time to take a picture and tell the story, but y'all not, or are y'all trying to help these people get out? You know what I'm saying? I think it's stuff like that. Like, y'all got these cameras and stuff down there interviewing these people. Y'all not offering to take them with y'all? I don't know. You know, put them in your van. Or I don't. Well, where are y'all? Where the news people go?
Put them in your van.
Now, you know what I mean? Where do news people go when they on the, when they out there?
I mean, you
know,
you
they just stay out there.
I agree with you about it. They just don't care. It's always about social class.
That's a fact, that, man. That's
that suffer. Now, that's one thing, you know what I'm saying, that I don't understand that, too. We should be doing a better job and being prepared for situations like this when it comes to hospitals and, you know, old folks' home and stuff like that. Those are the people.
Yeah.
They should be evacuated out of those places ahead of time.
First.
But see, they don't spend the money or the resources to get them people out. They always want to wait till the last minute to try to get them people out, if at all. And that's just pathetic that we live in a society that is like that. You know, it ain't nothing for them to say, hey, you know, if you want to put the military involved, spend that money. You can put the National Guard or Corps, helicopters, whatever it takes. We got too many resources. You can't evacuate.
But you know what, you said it right the first time.
It's shameful. It's shameful.
I agree. You know what, you said it right the first time. It's a shame we live in the world. It ain't just our society. It's the world. It's the humans. It's the people all over that is subject to being this cruel, because folks just be thinking about themselves initially, you know. And that's just how it is. That's just how.
Right, but then you know me, Love Lachey. Right, you know me, Love Lachey. I blame white supremacy, because if we agree that white supremacy runs this world, the most powerful people who run this planet and the way it's set up, the way it is, are the white supremacists. So at the end of the day, they're the blame, because they're the ones that do not understand that we need to help the people that need the most help. They the ones that don't care about, you know what I mean? Like, this is the type of society that they built. This is, exactly, this is the Greco-Roman society that they built. Basically, if you don't have money, you are non-existent. You know what I'm saying? This is what we're measured by.
The first time was accurate. It's a shame that we live in the world. Then he changed it and said it's for society. It's not just society. I'm saying what he said, how he said it the first time was right. It's the world. It's the society. It's not just society.
Facts.
It's the world, like he was saying before.
Facts. That's a fact. Because we do know, look at the, because people been getting on the Red Cross lately, like, look at their track record. All these major events, and they get the stars to come out to donate to the Red Cross. However, if we look at the homes they build in Haiti, non-existent. If we look at what they did for Katrina victims, non-existent. Like, come on, the Red Cross has been a shady organization, and it's unfortunate because you think you're doing the right thing by donating to the Red Cross. No, they got executives and COOs and CEOs living the life off donations from the people. You know what I mean? And they think it's going to a good cause because, you know, most of the people's, I believe, hearts is in the right place. You know what I mean? You want to help out, but, you know, these are criminal organizations, and they're doing a lot of unsavory things in the name of natural disasters. Like, it's a billion-dollar industry. You get the stars that come out, it's a billion-dollar industry. And on top of that, you do a little population control by, you know, whoever don't make it, just don't make it. You do a little, you know, like, they weaponize everything.
So knowing that, do you think it is, you know, very possible, like Abigail was saying, that it is the government that's, you know, persuading these things to happen for that purpose? You know,
yeah, anything, exactly, like, yeah. Anything is possible, but, yeah, anything is possible. I don't know if they're to the point where they perfected, you know, just shooting up hurricanes back-to-back like that. I think, yeah, there are some, they got some weather modification and some, you know, their heart program is real, like it's documented. Like there's no, but, you know, what's the extent of their level of, you know, the level of execution, you know, what's to the extent of that? And, you know, I just get an upper hand of Mother Nature. But on the flip side of that, it's all the stuff that we're doing to the planet as well. You know what I'm saying? Just on GP, you know, taking a lot of the minerals and stuff out of the earth, you know, putting a lot of carbon monoxide in the atmosphere and all these other type of things, like, you know, aerosol cans, we littering the planet with waste because we do know that. Exactly. Look how we do the ocean. So we do know that America is probably the most wasteful country on the planet. You dig what I'm saying? Or, you know, group of people, like, we have a lot of waste. So where is this stuff going? So, you know, that's another side of Mother Nature correcting itself based on what we've done to it. We can just say in the last 50 years, it's been,
hey,
you know what I mean? It's been a lot more, you know.
I got a question for Abigail. You still happy?
Yeah.
All right, this is my question to you. When we have a hurricane and you get all this water that gets pushed on land, what do you think happens to, like, the sharks and the whales? You know, why do you think sharks and whales get pushed on the ground?
Actually, that's actually a pretty good question. But let me make sure I'm hearing, like, I'm understanding clearly. So you said if the water, all the water pushed on land?
Yeah.
Like
they have what's called a storm surge. And in a storm surge, you get the ocean water gets pushed up on land. So my question is, where do you think all the sharks and whales and, you know, the big creatures of the ocean, where do you think they go during the hurricane time?
Ooh, probably in the middle of nowhere. Just dead.
Right, that's actually a good answer. That's a good answer, because
yeah,
they probably go back to the middle of the ocean.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
they go
further back, yeah.
In the middle of nowhere, like you're saying. And also, too, just to add on to what she's saying, because that was a really good answer, they more in tune with nature than we are. So I think they gone ahead and burn out.
Exactly. Yep.
They probably do have senses that can warn them. Like, for example, some of you could have dogs, but I do, and he senses
right.
the storm or whatever, he'd be shaking.
Mm-hmm.
It'll just be one little spark, just he would hear one little thing, and all of a sudden he'd be shaking.
Right, and here's the trick, though. Here's the trick. See, they in tune, but we also have them same capabilities in us. We just out of tune. We out of whack with the synchronicity of the earth. But if we was in tune like we should be, we would be able to sense it too. You dig what I'm saying? And prepare ourselves for, you know, what's to come.
Yeah, but we hard-headed.
Yeah, exactly, because we got the weather channel. That's all we got to do is just turn on the TV. We ain't got to use our senses. They tell us, you know, a week or two before, like, okay.
So Abby, with that being said, would you agree with me that in some situations, especially situations like this, that the animals are more smarter than the people because they know to get out of danger? Would you agree with me?
Abby, you there?
Hello. Sorry.
Ah, there you go. Loud and clear. You there?
I couldn't hear your answer. What'd you say?
I said, so you said if they're more smarter than the people?
Would you agree with me that in situations like this where you say the animals know how to sense danger and they know how to get away, they actually, in a situation like this, are more smarter than the people?
Well, actually, I would say yeah, but also, I also believe that people already have it in them. They just are so disconnected from, you know, using all this technology and stuff. Now, I believe they think that's the only way they can function.
And that makes them dumb. That's how I feel. That makes the people dumb. They want to rely so much on all that man-made stuff that actually makes people dumb. But people are so quick to want to call animals dumb and talk about how dumb and foolish that the animals are. But at least the animals have enough sense to know how to listen to nature. And when hurricanes and stuff are coming, they do their best. Like even with the birds. Do you know that a lot of birds will go into the center of the storm where it's dry? Did you know that?
Mm-hmm. They also fly in little groups called a murder. I learned while I was going to school, like, by the third grade. And that's what you see when they make this little arrow, basically, and they fly to, like, stop the side, I guess.
That's right. Animals are very smart.
Yeah, but that does. Yeah. That is kind of
fact.
So. Because we can't even sense when a storm coming without using a little tool enough or something.
Right. And if anybody out there has had a dog before, you know how your dog act up before the storm come. You dig? You know, if you had a dog out there, you know how your animals act. Dogs and cats.
Yeah.
When it's about to storm. So, go ahead, Abby.
Also, have a question for everyone. If the harp actually really is real because we really never know, but we have enough clues to at least believe.
Right, or draw the conclusion. Right, we can draw a conclusion.
If it really was real, how do you guys think it would affect the people? Like, for example, what if the cloud never goes away? What if it starts raining acid or something? What if something goes wrong, basically?
Exactly. And for that reason, I think it's dangerous, and it would have a negative effect on the people. You know, because you know, you messing with weather. And like you say, you can shoot anything up in there. You can shoot acid, yellow gas, like any type of, from the video I seen, and I think it was the same one Love Lachey seen, where it shot like a rocket up. It exploded into like some clouds, and, you know, it started raining and all this craziness. So, yeah, that would have disastrous effects on humanity and just, you know, nature and period. So, you know, I don't think it's a good idea. You trying to do something that naturally occurs, which is the problem, that this is the system we live in, trying to do stuff that naturally occurs, trying to be God or Mother Nature. You know what I'm saying? Like, you genetically modifying food. They about to move on to genetic babies. So you trying to play God and Creator, which you're going to always fail, you know, at the end, because there's nothing you can do to, you know what I mean, to replicate what the Creator does. And that's a fact. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can get close, but it's going to disrupt, you know, certain systems, and it's going to have a bad effect on the whole, you know, the whole ecosystem. You know what I mean? And that's just real, so I don't think
let's take a caller real fast, though, since we want to get a caller in. Let's call them. And then I think Abigail, then you can finish asking your next question. Let's take caller 314-616. Caller, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Caller, peace, caller.
Hey,
loud and clear.
I lost my voice, so you guys got to bear with me. And again, forgive me if I say anything that's already been repeated, because I just got on the line. But I would like to say, as it relates to these hurricanes, I believe that based on the empirical data that I've gathered, the hurricanes themselves are occurring naturally. But with these hard machines, is giving the power to the elites to strengthen them. Because hurricanes are meant to have the strongest part while it's in the water. So how are they picking up force once they hit the land? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I really believe this is an attempt to gentrify the real estate market in these areas. But what's interesting, if it hasn't already been mentioned, is these hurricanes follow the same path as the Atlantic slave trade. So in a way, I believe that the earth is cleansing itself, and I think the answer to this is the same thing to us. Now, if we're not tuned into that frequency, you may be missing out on some things. But basically, you know, I really believe that, you know, since the heat cliffs and we're having all these hurricanes, these are all signs that things are occurring in nature. I think that the universe is speaking something to us. What that message is, I have no idea. But again, I think it's interesting that these hurricanes are following the path of the slave trade. And as far as the weather modification, we know that this thing definitely exists, but I think that, you know, it's just been a way to strengthen the things, because when you're dealing with an elite group of people under the banner of white supremacy, this is evil group of cancer conquerors. So they'll go ahead and destroy humanity. And they've already discovered and created ways to have safe havens so that they're protecting themselves and the ones they care about from these disasters.
Fact. Yep, indeed. Indeed, Carla, that's a good build. And, yeah, just to add on to that, I mean, I agree with the call on that. Like, it's a lot going on. They do the weather modification. And the harp is real. I think Abby was kind of questioning earlier whether we know if it. I think based on what I've seen and the evidence, I think it was definitely a real program, and I think the government is definitely working on weather modification, because that, like I say, that's a form of weaponry. They weaponize everything. Yeah, weather is a form of weaponry. You know, if you can get away with changing the climate or changing the weather somewhere, creating floods and this and that in some places, yeah, that's a form of warfare. And this is society we live in, a warlike mentality. So everything is used as such. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I definitely agree. But I think in this case, it is probably Mother Nature just getting some things straight. You know what I mean? At the end
of the day. Even with the HARP situation, and the research that I had did on it was saying that I think it was started in the, I think in the 90s, 92-ish, where they had started that program, and then they stopped the program, and then they went back and tried to start it again, and supposedly stopped. I don't want to say the date because I don't have the dates in front of me, but it's supposedly they stopped doing the testing on again a few years ago. So it is something that definitely didn't hide the fact that it is something that they was working on for, in a war setting. So it is true to that.
Yeah, so, and then we got to take with a grain of salt how they divvy out the information. You see, a lot of times when they release stuff to the public, it'd be like 10, 20 years old. You dig what I'm saying? It's the stuff we got a peep game on too, based on history, because they'll release information, 10, 20 years later. That's just how they do it. You know what I mean? Like, this is just a fact. So if they, they talk about the program, and then they can put these programs under different names and all type of other stuff. So, it's just a lot.
I'll say this since I know we're talking about hurricanes right now. Now, in my opinion, this type of stuff can be avoided, not like what I was talking about earlier, with people that, like you said, people pay the cost to live in these type of areas, because a hurricane can only come on land so far, So if we were proactive enough to not have people set up shop in areas like that, this is something that could be avoided. Now, one thing that can't be avoided are these earthquakes. Now, that's a whole new, a whole new beast right there when it comes to these earthquakes. Now, here in the Midwest, we're sitting on this new Maverick fault line, and I want to ask all y'all, are you guys prepared? What are y'all thinking about? What's on your mind when it comes to that type of disaster? If this earthquake is as major as we think, I mean, I don't think there's no way you can seek shelter from that. But what's y'all thoughts on an earthquake as massive as that?
Well, I know me personally, I think that, I always say I like to keep a safe kit. I always like to say, to have the water and the bags, all those things are great and ideal, but ultimately, I just feel like you gotta just rely on God when it comes to stuff like that. You can try to be as prepared as you can, but at the end of the day, you have to just rely on God, and sometimes it just go down like that. Meaning that sometimes you just don't make it.
Yeah, like I said, hurricanes, we can, if we was proactive and smart enough like the animals are, you can prepare for something like that. You can get out of an area like that. You don't have to live in an area that's subjected to something like that. With tornadoes, we can go down under the ground. We can get away from tornadoes. But that earthquake, I tell you, earthquakes, I don't think you really can't escape that, especially if it's, a massive, extreme massive earthquake like it's being predicted with that. I mean, that's shifting the ground up underneath you, so I don't know how you can really get away from it.
Another monster, but I think Mother Nature is powerful in all directions, because even with the wind can be just as powerful as the earth. And although the hurricane itself can only go, you know, operate and function so far into the land, however, if it's bigger and strong enough, you still have the ability to feel the effects of it, even on the land and around, because it's still wind. It's still wind related. It's still the weather, and it can still have potential to produce tornadoes. It's just a hurricane ain't nothing but a tornado in the water. So it's still the same thing, whether it's a tornado on land, tornado in the water. And how Mother Nature can be powerful.
Right. I'm not disagreeing with you, but I was just saying that those things are a little bit more avoidable than an earthquake. Like, even with the strong winds, I mean, like I said, you can seek shelter underground. You know what I mean? You can get below the earth and avoid that wind. But that earthquake, that's a whole nother animal right there, y'all. You can't run from that. You're going to know when it's coming and say, oh, I can jump in a plane or a helicopter. But other than that, the earthquakes are so unpredictable. And if you get one that's strong enough, I mean, there's really no way to get away from that.
And it moves fast.
Yeah, that's I'm concerned. I really am concerned with, you know, living in the Midwest. I'm concerned with that fault line. You know, it's something that I've been thinking about since I was a kid. Like, how devastating can that be? That's why I was wondering, had you guys done research on it to see just how devastating it is expected to be, or it can be, in this country.
And out of curiosity, though, Mufasa, If it been in your spirit so tough all these years, why haven't you moved away from this particular place?
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. From what I've understood is that this earthquake can be so devastating that it's supposed to, and I could be wrong, but I heard it's supposed to change the whole structure of America, period. That's why I was saying I don't really think there's no way we can get away from it.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? I think that's as strong as they say it can be, it's supposed to change the coastlines of North America.
And it's hard to predict. I mean, you can study the line and see exactly where it goes. All those things and kind of predict the conclusion, but you never know.
Yeah, you never know. You know, I could move from Missouri and move to everywhere I think about, you know, Californians get hit with earthquakes. They get hurt. You get hit with earthquakes.
That's the place you don't want to even think about.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
They got mudslides. Right, they got mudslides and full slides.
That earthquake is like no escape. It ain't no getting around. It's to me, that earthquake is something that really people need to be worried about, because we sitting on a ticking time bomb. And I guess, like you said earlier, love, so all you can do is really just pray, and maybe you make it through it, maybe you don't. But I don't think with that earthquake, you know, it's really no getting out of that situation.
But praying ain't going to help. No.
Put that out there for the prayer warriors.
Right. It do help. I'm not saying that, but not in that tradition.
There's nothing wrong with prayer meditation. There's nothing wrong with those two things. Praying is just nothing more. You seeking, you asking for guidance. Meditation is how you receive your answers.
It depends on.
There's nothing wrong with that. For me personally, but you also have to know that you're not here to be here forever on this earth anyway. And nobody really knows how they gonna get up out of here. Nobody really knows
that.
Sometimes you may be blessed enough to know, but there's sometimes you're not gonna know. Ain't no way to stop it. So you can't necessarily worry about that. You know, you just have to make sure.
Right, because what are you running from?
Your main priority is to make sure that you as an individual is ready when it comes. And however it's gonna come, because you never know how it's gonna come. You know, somebody can walk up on you and just you know, take you out right now. So you just never know when and how it can be equated. It can be a numerous things.
Right. That's why I say there's really no running from it. Yeah,
there's really no running
from natural disasters. And basically, because what you're really running from
is
death.
It is what it is.
So why are you running? You know what I mean?
It is what it is.
Why are you running?
Run.
I mean, you just got to, you know,
why
you got
to
do
you
what you do. Exactly. And understand.
Because they don't understand. They're not complete. And have a complete understanding with life. It's just like, if, now let me ask y'all this, and this goes to everybody. If I lent you guys $1 million, say you guys borrowed $1 million from me, okay, and I'm like, okay, I'll be back in a year to collect the money. And a year comes. During this whole year, y'all did whatever y'all need to do with this $1 million. You became successful. You got $30 million. When I come knocking on your door in a year, you're gonna be happy to see me. You ain't gonna be running from me. You're gonna be like, "What's up? Here you go." It might give me a little extra, but if I give you $1 million and you don't do nothing with it, you lose it, and you ain't got no money. In a year, you'd be ducking and dodging me. You won't be able to look me in my face, be hiding. I never know where you are. That's the same way death is. When you don't do right by life, you run from death. When you ain't totally set aside, you are life. We born from
right.
this body. So when it's time to pay up, if you ain't done right by it, you don't run. You're going to be nervous. That's why you got to live life to the fullest. And don't live life with regrets. Be okay with what you decided. Be okay with your decision.
Right.
Don't have no regrets when you living. Because when you're on that deathbed, if you get the opportunity to just sit there before you die, you're going to be thinking about all the stuff you could have done, should have done, didn't do, would have done, all the stuff you could have done different. Don't live your life with regrets. And I think if we live our life with a little bit differently, and when it's time for death to come and we got to repay and give our body back, we'll be a little more okay with doing it.
Hallelujah.
Indeed. Praise the Lord, saints. No. yeah, that's real. Nah, that's real. I definitely feel that. Because, see, that's one of the things, and even like we talking about hurricanes and all that, and then somehow we got on talking about death. But that's one of the things that black people are going to have to face, and that's not being scared to die. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we didn't let somebody tell us what death is, what's going to happen. But in reality, they don't know. You know what I'm saying? So that's one of the keys. That's one of the keys to our liberation as a collective mind is to, you know, face that fear of death. You know what I mean? Because once you got that out the way, then, you know,
that's
half the battle. You know.
So, hey, I tell y'all this one too. I don't know if you know, back with the hurricane tip, how many of y'all saw that? Did y'all see the images of the Bahamas? I ain't never seen them like that. Where after the storms and stuff and the earthquakes, the Bahamas didn't. The ocean was gone. Did y'all see that?
Right, I seen that video.
You know what I think I learned about that? Is that was part of that surge that you were talking about.
Exactly.
It moves
back.
And it's going to come back once the end of the back of the hurricane you know, move forward, and it's going to push it back.
It's going to push it back, exactly. Yeah.
That lets you know just how powerful that wind was.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. It sucked all the water out, like the hurricane was sucking the water. You dig what I'm saying? To create them rains,
crazy.
And it was just, yeah.
That's something people start walking on the ocean floor.
You hear me? Yeah, but it's gonna come back though.
That's what I'm saying. A lot of people will get deceived by that because they'll be out there like they were, and that water starts rushing in. It ain't gonna be no.
Yeah.
On how far out they go, they ain't gonna be able to have time to run. So I was like, when I was watching the video, I said, there's no way in the world I would be standing on that surface. For what?
No, because that wave coming back, right.
And even when I was thinking about that, I would have just been too concerned about the ground. I'm like, you ain't never stepped on this ground before. You know, it's been water on there all the time. How you know what? I just don't know enough about it to just be just skipping on the ground like that and looking. I just wouldn't do it. I'm sorry.
So Irma, I think Irma right now is going through like southeast Florida, and it's going to hit up through Georgia. I think Savannah was evacuated. It'd probably be like a tropical storm once it get up there. And it's supposed to hit Atlanta as well. And just kind of, you know, kind of slow down from there, you know what I mean? So Irma still got a lot, and like we say, we got Jose right behind it. So who knows what that's going to turn into, you know what I mean? So I always say, like, our people are the most vulnerable. You know, I just say Mudge has got to really be safe and try to, you know, you can call on some ancestors. Do what you got to do to survive. Because when it's survival time, them instincts kick in. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just either do or you don't. You know what I'm saying? Like,
so we don't get the first responder.
Yeah, we don't get the first responder. So, you know, you got to do what you got to do, and them instincts got to kick in. And like I said, like, they claim, like, on some of these islands or whatever, they protecting and stopping looters from getting, you know, from breaking into stuff. But it's like, hey, if it's a desperate situation and you got to eat, and you may even have the money in the bank or on you, but who are you paying? Like, nobody's even there. So, yeah, you may risk something to try to get something to eat. You know what I mean? So they use that as an opportunity to harm and mistreat a lot of folks. Poor folks, call them looters. But then if you got somebody else doing it, oh, they looking for food or they finding food. You know what I'm saying? Like the same images we've seen in Katrina. You know how they do our people. We looters. You know, looters. Looters is a code word for black people in situations like this. You know what I mean? In natural disaster, the looters are a.k.a. black people. You know, and that's how they do. So, you know, we got to be smart and know who we're dealing with. I think Lil Lissay mentioned earlier that, you know, people coming to help may be robbing you. Or it's like it could be all type of stuff going on that we're not even privy to, and people are really getting, you know, mistreated. You know what I mean? Like, they got a curfew going on down there. It's, you know, it'd just be a lot. Basically, it'd be martial law. When these type of natural disasters and hurricanes happen, they just turn into martial law. Basically, you know, lights out, people be without power. Like, it's probably like 6 million people in Florida without power. It's certain areas in Houston, I'm sure, still don't have power. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a lot that people be dealing with, and we not going to really see the aftermath to like a month or two, 6 months, a year down the line. You know what I'm saying? So we just, you know, we'll see the after effects, and it's going to be a long time, you know, rebuilding the places back up, you know what I mean? So And that's going to be a perfect opportunity to displace you know who. Black and brown people. Let's move them somewhere else and take over this neighborhood like, you know, that always happened. But this is just the reason. And you can do it under the population nose without them even knowing. Like, you know, you could do it.
Well, I'll tell you this. You may disagree with this, man, but shoot, all the poor people need to get up off them coastlines anyway. Don't move up out of there, shit. I mean, shoot. Sorry, Abby. Move up off them coastlines.
Yeah,
more inland. They want to put all that rich party stuff down on the coastline, so be it. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, poor people who can't evacuate them areas, they need to be more inland anyway, just to avoid, you know, stuff like this.
Nah, that's where the energy at, by the sun, the closer you get south into the equator.
Yeah,
that's
but
where
then
our strength is.
And look at,
right.
Like I say, look at what happened in Katrina. Look what happened in, with Harvey. You know, I'd rather see our people move a little bit closer inland than have to go through that because we don't have resources to evacuate when it comes time. You know, and it's shameful that you see so many poor people get caught in a cross like that, even with a little bit. And I noticed that, you know, more black people was coming out with Harvey, you know, to do what they can with boats and you know, food and stuff like that, but it's still, you know, not enough. Not enough. So anybody that is not able to evacuate places like that when it's and you living in a high risk area like that, I feel like you should just move a little closer inland.
Right, that's assuming money to move.
If I had some family down there, if I had some family that lived down there, I'd be like, look, you know, is it worth it for you to stay there? We need to relocate you. That's what we need to be focused on, relocating you, because we can't be having this. This is crazy, man.
Right, but you got to understand, it's them folks. Like, some people born and raised there, all their family there. It's like, where you going to go? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
that's why I said it almost could be, it's almost, it's a curse and a blessing with you get people that can't afford to go back to them areas or can't afford to rebuild. Like you was talking about with the, you know, gentrifying everything, you know, maybe for the better, get some people up out of that type of area. Because, you know, they come back, you know, you lose so many people in one storm, you come back and 2-3 years later, it'd be another big storm and you lose hundreds of more people's lives. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. I mean, basically, you know.
Yeah, saying take the good with, you know, it's the good with the bad.
Yeah, that's what I say, the good with the bad. Everything is everything. You know what I mean? And this may be I don't even know if I want to say this on air, but it's a harsh reality that I just said like this. You know, everybody's not going to make it. You know what I mean? And everything's happened. You know, everything happens for a reason. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, it's a way, like I say, it's a way for Mother Nature to renew and you know, put a renewal on the earth, so to speak. So, you know, everything happens for a reason. You know, it's everybody's time when they time. And, you know, we got to work within the confines of, you know, this three-dimensional reality that we're dealing with. So, you know, so, yeah, it is what it is, but... You know, I don't expect folks to move from down there. Like, people still going to go back. Like, they go rebuild. Like, these are once-in-a-lifetime type of storms now. If it starts happening year after year after year, then, you know, the damage is done. But must go rebuild and get back to doing what they do. You know what I mean?
I was talking to a guy this morning. I forgot that this guy I was talking to this morning, his daughter was down there in Texas, and he brought her up here, but she lost everything. He was like, there ain't no reason for her to go back. You know, everything she had is gone.
Damn.
So, it's like,
yeah.
How
look,
was it lost?
Houston,
I mean, was it a flood? Then was it all flooded, or what was it?
Yeah, she was totally washed out. Yeah, everything was washed out. Her home was
pretty much washed away.
Yeah, Houston is the fourth largest city in the United States. So with that being said, it's, you know, it's a lot of black people there. You know what I mean? So who knows what's happening to the maybe the million or plus. You know, it's just a lot of folks in Houston that's being affected. You know what I'm saying? So we definitely got to keep that in mind. Like, so, but I heard the death toll been kind of low. Like, I'm not really sure. I think the latest I heard was like 60 or 80 or something, or relatively low. You know, just according to what they're reporting. I mean, we know that anything could be going on, but what they're reporting is, I think, like 60
yeah, people,
or 80,
remember,
I heard something like that.
Remember, they evacuated a lot of people, too. So they
right.
were a little more prepared for this particular one. And I think a lot of it still has to do with the eclipse, too.
The eclipse,
so a lot of people.
Yeah.
So they knew how heavy this was going to be. So they remember they evacuated a lot of people. You know, I think I want to say about a week or so beforehand, right? Or a few days, enough time where people were able to actually leave and board up stuff. So I think the death toll, you know, a lot of people was able to
and
make
Harvey,
it out.
Yeah, that was for
and they
Hurricane
and they weren't caught off guard.
Yeah. Right. That was Harvey. And shout out, I seen a video with Beyonce doing some good things too at Hurricane Harvey. You know, it looked like she was around the family and doing her thing. So shout out to her. I seen a video with Bun B, you know, talking about stuff. So
he was crying
down in Houston. Yeah, the video where he was on there crying and talking about like Port Arthur and, you know, and folks down there need to get help. So, you know, people speaking out. I think Beyonce was actually on the ground, you know, giving out food and stuff. So, you know, it's so not to just focus on the negative. It is a lot of people, you know, doing some good things for the family and holding it down and really helping people out. Like, you know, when it comes to these natural disasters and stuff, you know, everybody deserves and should be helped. Like, one life shouldn't be valued over the other. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to them folks that's on the ground, that's helping out, doing things. And I'm sure people go respond, you know, in Florida the same way. Help out, you know, do what they can and try to, you know, just try to do the right thing. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, it ain't hard to help out when you can. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Folks need,
I do.
You know.
I do want to touch again on something I said earlier that I do want to touch again on. It is shameful that this country we live in, and I'm with you too, love to say on the world, but since we're dealing with these two catastrophes that hit the American coastline, it's shameful that we living in America, and we have resources that can help people, military resources that can help people. It's shameful that people that needed to escape these areas, you know, couldn't get the help that they needed. You know, we wait till the last minute. You know, it's shameful. We can go to war with countries and help countries rebuild. We can, you know, get troops out of danger when they need to be evacuated. And it's shameful that on your own land, your own country, you'll let people, you know what I'm saying, drown unnecessarily. It's pathetic. And that's one of the reasons why Kaepernick took a knee for stuff. It's not just police brutality, but stuff like this too. You know, America needs got to do a whole lot of work. A whole lot of work, because that's just pathetic. That on your own land, you let poor people drown and die from something to be totally avoided. You know, spend your resources and help your people. You know, it's pathetic. It really is. It's pathetic.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, we got about 5 minutes left to the live stream. But yeah, Mufasa, man, couldn't have said it no better. For real, it really is sad, you know, that we do have the resources to help folks. But like I said, the poor people are becoming persona non grata. They don't matter.
Don't matter.
And it's sad. You know what I'm saying? This is where society is going, and it's really sad because eventually you just ain't gonna see no poor. You ain't gonna see no homeless people on the streets. You know what I mean?
No, they can get done any kind of way, nobody even cares.
Nobody would even know it occurred. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, as a society, we got to look at how we treat, you know, the least among us and the people that need the help. So. It's a cold game, and these natural disasters just, you know, people show their true color. The vampires and snakes come out during times like this. You know what I mean? They come out in full force. So, you know, just love and light to the fam. Like I say, it's a lot of people out there doing good. You know, you know, rebuild their life and do the best they can. Like I say, the fallout, because people been displaced and moved, like, you know, people going to be thinking about, like Mufasa said, people go probably thinking about relocating. You know what I'm saying? So where they going to go? They going to come up to Chicago. They going to go to Louisville, St. Louis, Kansas City, you know, all these different places looking for jobs, you know, trying to rebuild and start their lives. But this is just a natural progression of what, you know, what humans do. Some people are going to make that move. So the after effects, like I say, go last at least for the next 5 or 10 years. Just like we see Katrina after effects, you know, years later, people then moved up here to St. Louis from New Orleans. You know what I'm saying? We had a lot of people from Katrina move up that I didn't met, you know, personally. So this is what's going to happen, you know. So don't be surprised we get some people that move to Houston may move back, you know, to St. Louis or just whatever. People gonna be moved around based on these events and energies and different things gonna be moved around. So it's definitely a shift, you know, in the air. It's definitely a shift in the nature. It's a shift in consciousness. People talking about biblical times and this could be the end of the earth, and it's just a matter of time, you know what I'm saying? So there's a lot going on within the consciousness of humanity based on these particular events and storms that, you know, that have happened. So I say it's a great time to be alive. I think we're witnessing a lot. You know, it ain't all gloomy. This is a great time. If you study and you're on top of the game, then you can kind of see what's going on and watch as an observer as best you can, and, you know, and just kind of peep the scene, because, you know, it's definitely the Matrix, and you should be enjoying yourself down on this earth, but you should also be conscious of what's happening. So I'm going to leave it right there. Peace to the fam, collective minds. Love, Lachey. Any last words, Mufasa Rot? Thank you, our special guest, Abby. Thanks for the callers. Yeah. Thanks for the listeners. Abby.
I would like to add one thing too. I just want to encourage people, you know, look at life as just a stepping stone, you know, and everything that happens, both good and bad, is a stepping stone. So we can use everything as a stepping stone to move forward.
Indeed. No doubt. Abby, you still there? You got about 30 seconds if you want to say something.
Abby, you still there?
All right.
Mufasa.
All right, Mufasa.
Okay.
All right.
Peace out, y'all. Peace out.
Peace. Collective Minds. Follow us on Facebook. Check us back every Sunday, every week, 6 to 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Check us out, Collective Minds Radio. Love, Lachey, Mufasa, and Brother Kev.
Brother Kev.
Coming, Brother Kevy Kev, coming back at you. But, you know, thank y'all for listening. Thanks for all the supporters. We appreciate it. Check us out next week. And it is what it is. as Mufasa said.
Yeah, and thank you for having me.
Oh, we appreciate it. We definitely going to have you back, Abby. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure the listeners enjoyed it. Peace.